The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
There is a war on our children. The question is, who's going to win the war?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today. Michael Brown, delighted to be back with you. Got back from Latvia yesterday about 5:30 in the afternoon, about 20 hours of travel from Latvia via Germany with some layovers, and had a wonderful time of ministry in Germany. Bremen on Thursday night, Tübingen over the weekend, Latvia Monday night. Joy to speak at what I found out is the world's largest Latvian church. Had a wonderful time with the believers there and, of course, with the believers in Germany. I've got a clip I want to play for you a little later in the broadcast from Latvia that I think will bless and encourage you. If you want to weigh in as we get into the subject of the war on children today, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. But thanks for those who prayed for me during the trip. Much appreciated. Much fruit that, for sure, is coming out of that and will come out of that trip. And I hope you enjoyed all the special broadcasts we specially prepared for you. We wanted every day to be special in my absence when you're unable to call in live. But again, number to call, 866-348-7884. Okay. One other thing before we dive in. You know, I talked last week, last Wednesday's broadcast, right before I flew out, about how God helped me to radically change my lifestyle in terms of healthy eating. And really, you have to ask yourself, do I love my health more than I love my food? And do I love the Lord more than I love my food in terms of stewardship of our bodies? So when you travel, especially internationally, with the length of flights and the time you're away and all of that, you do have to make plans. We tell our hosts I'm on a special diet, so they've got lots of fruits and vegetables and things for me. But when I had a four-hour layover yesterday in Munich, so between flights from Latvia to Munich and then four-hour layover there and then about a 10-hour flight to Charlotte coming home, so a straight flight. So I had about 4 hours. I rested in business lounge for a little while, found a little fruit to eat, and then decided, you know what, I'm just going to walk the airport. You know, it's a massive airport, different terminals. Just going to get some steps in. Might as well walk while I've got some time here, listen to an audiobook. And as I walked all through the airport, I didn't find a single thing in the various terminals that would be suitable for me to eat because of no dairy, no flour, no sugar in terms of my lifestyle, right? I didn't feel deprived. I had snacks with me. I had no need, no issue, no deprivation, zero. Whatsoever, okay? The point is, you got to plan, you have to make decisions, you have to, as I said last week, make a determination about radical lifestyle that you just have to live differently. If you make exceptions, you're going to keep making them and then fall back here, fall back, you'll never get the track that you need to. But, you know, here it is, I get home, hang out with Nancy for all dinner together, then get in normal night, some good productive writing, you know, work out just a little. Today, active, you know, full schedule, running hard, full of energy. It's worth it. It is really, really worth it, my friends. Okay. There is a war on our children. There is no question whatsoever that there is a war on our children, an ideological war that has been waged on our children. There was a heated discussion between Allen Ginsberg, who was a famous beat poet, 50s, 60s, became an icon of the counterculture revolution, Buddhist, Hindu. He was known as a leader of the Jews who converted to Buddhism. He was also very well known as a gay sexual activist. And he was having a debate discussion with a conservative pundit, Norman Potterist. And at the end of it, he shouted to him, "We'll get you through your children." This was in the late 1950s. Well, there was some controversy recently because of a chant at a New York City drag march in 1994, when gay pride events said, hey, you know, we don't want the drag community and some others, the leather community, for those who know what that is, we don't want that in our gay pride marches. It kind of gives a bad image. Now, of course, drag queens are being celebrated, right? But, you know, it gives a bad image. So they started their own pride parade, drag queen pride, etc. So this was the annual drag queen pride parade in New York City. And this was a chant by some of the demonstrators there. Let's listen. Yeah, so you hear the chant. We're here, we're queer, we're coming for your children. Now, there are people saying they were just being satirical. They were just saying, that's what you think of us. And by the way, there is video for it, but we didn't play the video because of, well, there's some nudity. So just inappropriate, obviously, to play the video for those watching. But some said, no, it was just satirical. That's what you think of us. So we're playing into the worst stereotypical image. If that's the case, it's quite unwise because it's going to be taken seriously. Others said, no, we had a counter chant to that because we didn't like that chant. Bottom line, there are and have been for years LGBTQ+ activists who have been coming for our children. I'm not talking about pedophiles. I'm not talking about people trying to seduce our children sexually. I'm talking about people trying to indoctrinate our children, change their thinking. And what else? What do you call it? When you have drag queens reading to little toddlers and elementary school children and saying the hips of a drag queen go swish, swish, swish and stuff. What is that if not coming for our children? As one of the drag queens, a gay man said, yeah, we want to groom your children. Or we want to change their thinking. What is that if not coming for our children? And when you have school after school after school after school seeking to indoctrinate our children, seeking to indoctrinate their thinking, see, I've read from children's readers just a few weeks ago, for little children, even toddlers, teaching them to read. You can be a boy one day and a girl the next and both the next. And not, is that not coming for our children? Gay journalist Andrew Sullivan said, look, there's a difference between this queer ideology now and this trans activism and the drag queen activism, and that's not who we are, and we weren't coming for your children's bodies, you know, trans activism and getting children to transition at 6 and 8 and 10 and 12, etc. Yeah, but you're coming for children's minds. And the influence is there, social media influence is coming to influence children. The media, Disney, come on, Disney actively working to indoctrinate children. So here in Montgomery County, we lived there, Nancy and our family lived there for 9 years, 87 to 96. Montgomery County schools said, no, you can't opt out of certain classes. And parents and children say, what do you mean we can't opt out? These things are morally objectionable. Look who's speaking up now and confronting these bigoted school councils say, wait, if you, this is your position, you're siding with like white premises and bigots and things like that. Now, it's just bigotry to accuse those who have a moral objection with being, you're just like a white supremacist and a bigot. So listen to what this Muslim woman has to say, speaking to school board in Montgomery County, Maryland.
Bismillah, good afternoon. I'm Samir Munshi. I work with the Coalition of Virtue, a Muslim-led nonprofit based here in Maryland, and I want to address the board on the issue of opt-out. I firstly want to acknowledge, like Sister Hussein did, that today is the day of Arafah. It's the holiest day of the year for Muslims. And many of us are fasting, yet we came out to stand in the rain and to voice our concerns because for us, this is genuinely an issue of faith, not hate. And we reject the implication that acting on our faith's principles is a willful means of harming others. In fact, we see it as a point of bigotry that some only care for our community and will only protect our rights when we assimilate to their way of life and ways of thinking. Just like it's a point of bigotry when some refuse our women's right to wear hijab and to pray, condemning us for our views on this issue is in itself another act of bigotry like the ones Muslims and immigrants have faced in this country for years. The same religion that causes Muslims to care about environmental justice, food insecurity, or ending anti-Black racism is the same. The same religion that causes Muslims to care about environmental justice, food insecurity, or ending anti-Black racism is the same religion that causes us to care about this issue. Our faith is not partisan, and our people are not backwards. Part of the American dream of our people is that they pass on their values to their children. But members of this school board have mocked our values and have said we cannot be allowed to opt our children out precisely because they want to end that dream. Our constitutional right to religious freedom and to raise our children precisely protects that dream. Many of our families don't have much of a choice whether to place their children in this public setting. So we ask that we at least have a choice for our children not to be forced to participate in celebrating or normalizing views that contradict our religion. These children will learn about same-sex couples and trans-identifying people, whether they learn these things in school or not. And the conversations that they will have with these members of our community will serve as education on these matters later in their lives. But we're asking that our children not be strong-armed at such a young age into believing certain ideas about gender and sexuality, or that the school system insist on turning our children against the religious values that we hold. Thank you.
Mm. Hi.
So that's a Muslim woman speaking. You know, Muslim, you don't want to be Islamophobic and all this. That's a Muslim woman speaking. Other Muslim parents spoke up. But how about this? How about this middle school Muslim boy? Listen to what this kid bravely has to say.
Hi, my name is Saad Beg. I'm a middle school student of MCPS. I'm here to talk about the opt-out option for reading material. I'm not here to take away the right of anyone being recognized in the community. I'm here to talk about my rights. My religion teaches to respect all religions and all human beings and their rights. So does my country law. And I want my right back to have an opt-out option. In the last Board of Education meeting, someone said that many people of the LGBTQ community are being bullied. That may have been the case some time ago, but these days it's quite the opposite. There are over 40 kids that I know who don't want to learn this and really want to be here talking today, but can't because they are being bullied. They are the ones being bullied when they say we don't want to learn this.
Mm. Exactly the case. The bullying has gone the other way and has been that way for years. Why not just teach universally? Bullying is bad, and let parents make these decisions. Let kids make these decisions with their parents to opt out, unless you're going to force indoctrination on children that violates the religious and moral and spiritual values of large segments of the population. Time to speak up, time to push back. The war on our children has been going on for a long time. It is high time that we stand together and push back. All right, just getting started. Much more to come. We've got some amazing clips to play, including one from Uganda that's going to surprise you. And then, bottom of the hour, I'm going to talk with Steve Noble about some alternative educational means for your kids. Be right back. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. Many of you know about the radical health transformation in my own life starting August of 2014, went from 275 pounds to 180 pounds, less than 8 months, not by dieting, but by radical lifestyle transformation, getting rid of the bad, unhealthy things, eating only healthy foods. I've kept it up by God's grace now for 9 years, going from 3 headaches a week to no headaches in 9 years. Blood pressure as high as 149 over 103 now, maybe 105 over 70 on average. I mean, radical transformation. And I encourage you to look at your life, look at your diet, ask, are you going in the right direction or do you need to make some changes? I also want to help you with on a very practical level. I have added into my life as well some great supplements from our co-sponsor, Trivita. In fact, that's why we work with them, because I have personally benefited from these as well. I want to commend to you three in particular. nitric oxide, which helps with blood flow, oxygen, energy level. MyoHealth, which helps with skeletal structure, muscle, which is really important as you get older. And NoPelea, which deals with chronic inflammation. In fact, I've learned that that's the number one killer worldwide, chronic inflammation. I take these three supplements every single day. As I travel around the world, I travel with these. And I want to encourage you strongly, check them out for yourselves. 800-771-5584. Get your free online health consultation. 800-771-5584, or go to trivita.com. Use the code BROWN25. You will get a 25% discount on your entire order, whatever size it is, and 100% of your first order will go to support the Line of Fire and more than a tithe of all subsequent orders. I use these. I commend them to you. 800-771-5584.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, you might ask me, so Dr. Brown, you travel, you bring like food stuff? Oh, yeah, yeah. I bring my boxes of organic beans, no sodium. Do I have them? I bring flaxseed. I bring certain raw organic nuts. And yes, I try Vita supplements, all three that I travel with, NoPelea and MyoHealth and nitric oxide. Absolutely. I'm committed to it, and it benefits are here all over. So again, a great way to help us reach more people in new cities as we expand the voice of the Line of Fire. I was at the airport in Stuttgart waiting for luggage to come in from Bremen. And there was an American pastor. Are you from America? He says to me, yes. We're ready to get baggage claim. Are you from America? Yes. And he said, Dr. Brown, I said, yes. And he said, I want to thank you for the stands you take for speaking the truth and holding the line and speaking with love. Wherever I travel, people are saying that to me. I mean, leaders in other countries are saying that. It's something God's graced us and called us to do. So let's do this together. Let me be your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Let's help together infuse millions more with faith, truth, and courage. The new stations that we just launched on, three new stations in the last couple of months in Phoenix and Dallas and Chicago, the listening, potential listening audience of all those stations is 20 million people. Obviously, you don't have 20 million people listening to the stations, but that's the potential reach. And still a vast number of people, 80 million Americans are using AM radio regularly, and then we're on AM, we're on FM. So it's a great opportunity to reach more people. So thanks for praying for standing with us. And when you order from Trivita, not only you're helping yourself, you're helping us help others. So you can call 800-771-5584. Just ask questions. Hey, what do you recommend? Basic stuff, etc. And then 100% of your first order is going to be donated to our ministry to do more outreach, and you get that special discount. So 800-771-5584. And I tell you what, I take regularly and travel with it. Absolutely. Okay. When I was in Latvia, I was praying about what to speak on. The theme that they had announced was Revival or We Die. And I was praying before the service, Lord, which way do you want me to go? What do you want me to speak on? And I felt this. God sends the fire, but we prepare the altar and offer ourselves as living sacrifices. That we can do. That we prepare the altar, in other words, in worship and giving ourselves before the Lord, we now prepare ourselves as living sacrifices. So I talked about revival and what God can do in seasons of revival and what I've witnessed with my own eyes. And then our role to give ourselves completely and unconditionally over to the Lord. And then at the end of the service, so we had an altar call for everyone to come up, unconditional surrender. One of the first people up was pastor's wife, a bishop overseeing Pentecostal churches in Latvia. In other words, it was just people saying, Lord, we're surrendering to you. Lord, our lives belong to you. I'm talking about devoted believers, talking about people who were struggling with addictions and other issues, people just coming forward to surrender. In fact, one young man ended up on the platform just taking the mic and saying, I've had all these addictions and struggles, but I'm surrendering my life to Christ. So when I had everyone up there, I felt in particular to call up Gen Z young people. I said, everyone 25 years old and younger, I want you to join me on the platform. I found out when I got there, it's the world's largest Latvian church, maybe about 1,000 people going there regularly. And it was a good turnout. People came from Estonia nearby. People came that weren't part of the church just to be there for the special service. But you can't see on the video how big the altar is and how many young people were up there. But I want you to hear this segment because it's really, really important. It's important for all of us spiritually, but especially for all young people listening. With so much pressure on social media and pressure on you to be intimidated, I believe this will encourage you, and it's essential. You may be a full-time pastor, my friend. Maybe you've been in ministry 30 years, and you may find this especially relevant. So it is with David, my Latvian translator. Let's listen.
Up here,
visi, kas esat augšā,
if you struggle with fear of man,
ja jūs cīnaties ar bailēm no cilvēkiem,
I mean, we all have to deal with it.
Mēs visi ar to saskaramies.
But there's a fear of being rejected.
Bet ir bailes tikt noraidītam.
People rejecting you to your face.
Kad cilvēki tev noraid, tev skatoties acīs.
Or on social media.
Varbūt sociālajos tīklos.
And it's hard for you to really stand up for your convictions.
Un tev ir grūti nostāties par tavām pārliecībām.
You don't want to seem weird.
Tu negribi izskatīties dīvains.
Or on the outside.
No ārpuses.
If you really struggle with that.
Ja tu tiešām ar to cīnies.
It's fully understandable.
Tas ir saprotams.
We've all gone through it.
Mēs visi ar to esam saskārušies.
But there's a solution.
Bet ir risinājums.
So here's what we're going to do.
Lūk, ko mēs darīsim.
If you've been going through that,
ja tu ar to, ja tam es gāju
you
sauri,
know you got to speak up.
Un tu saproti, ka tev vajag runāt.
You want to be a witness,
ka tu gribi sludināt.
But you want to be left out.
Ka tu gribi būt liecinieks, bet tu negribi arī tikt atraidīts.
On social media.
Tu negribi tikt nobuķēt sociālajos tīklos.
But you want to obey the Lord.
Bet tu gribi paklausīt tam kungam.
Here's the solution.
Lūk risinājums.
God wants to be so real to you.
Dievs grib būt tik reāls tev.
That his approval will be bigger than their rejection.
Ka viņa pieņemšana būs spēcīgāka par citu noraidījumu.
That the sense of God's love for you will be so real.
Ka Dieva mīlestības sajūta būs tik reāla.
And the sense of his pleasure in you will be so real.
Un nojausma par viņa apmierinājumu par tevi būs tik reāla.
That the other stuff just won't matter.
Ka citām lietām nebūs nozīmes.
And instead of thinking about yourself, you'll be praying for them.
Un tā vietā tu domāt par sevi, tu lūgs par viņiem, jo viņi nepazīst to
kungu.
Un tāpēc, ja tu esi tam gājis sauri, pacel savas rokas. Un es gribu lūgt par jums.
Father, you know the pressure this generation's under.
Tās tu zini šo spiedienu, zem kuras ir šī paaudze.
And you know how none of us at any age like rejection.
Un tu zini, kā nevienam mums, jebkurā vecumā mums nepatīk
noraidījums. You would break that tonight.
Un mēs lūdzam Tevs, ka tu salauz to šodien.
Because you'd be so real.
Lai tu būtu tik reāls.
That your kids would know you so well.
Ka tavi bērni tev pazītu tik labi.
That your love would be so deep.
Ka tava mīlestība būtu tik dziļa.
That your faith would be so strong.
Ka tava labvēlība būtu tik spēcīga.
That your fellowship would be so real.
Ka tava sadraudzība būtu tik reāla.
That when everybody rejects them.
Ka pat tad, kad citi viņus noraida.
They'll know that you receive them.
Viņi zināt, ka tu viņus pieņem.
And they'll feel that joy.
Un viņi jūstu šo prieku.
Because they're suffering for the gospel.
Jo viņi cieš evaņģēliju dēļ.
And they know that they have what their friends need.
Un viņi zināt, ka viņiem ir tas, ko viņu draugiem ir
vajadzīgs. And that the ones that reject them.
Un tad, kad citi viņus noraida.
Will be the next ones to get saved.
Lai tie būtu tie, kas ir nākamie, lai tiktu glābti.
Father, touch these young people.
Tavs pieskaries šiem jaunajiem cilvēkiem.
These teenagers, these young adults.
Šiem pusaudžiem, šiem jaunajiem pieaugušajiem.
Oh, God, we break the lies.
Oh, Dievs, mēs salaužam melus.
We break the spirit of fear and rejection.
Mēs salaužam baiļu garu.
We are your children.
Mēs esam tavi bērni.
We are your kids.
Mēs esam tavi bērni.
God, make that so real.
Padari to īsti.
A fresh baptism of the Father's love.
Svaigu tēva mīlestības Kristī.
Poured out on each of them.
Izlej to pār katru no viņiem.
By your spirit.
Savā garā.
By your spirit.
Pēc sava gara.
By your spirit.
Ar savu garu.
Thank you, Lord.
Jē, paldies tev.
Yeah. So, friends, that's the key. It's so important for all of us. If you really know the love of your Father in your own life, the love of your Heavenly Father, if you are secure in His love and know His favor, when people reject you and attack you, you are so loved by Him and so much in His arms that that's your greater reality. So you grieve for the others. Rather than hurting for yourself, you grieve for them. You pray for them, and you want them to know that love. It is so beautiful and wonderful, and it is a bulwark against the spirit of rejection, where you're afraid to speak and you discourage and so on. So I'm not throwing that on you. I'm saying ask God for it to be more real. And as you do, it's life transforming. It really, really is. And the younger generation in particular, grounded in that, especially so many so fatherless, grounded in that, boy, it's absolutely life changing. Those watching the video said, boy, there's one guy, his hands were raised, they were shaking. He actually confessed publicly. He said, I'm shaking. God's Spirit's on me. I have these addictions in my life and sin in my life, and I'm fully surrendering. I want to give my whole life to the Lord and be free from these addictions. Is somebody being touched with the power of the Holy Spirit? Okay, we come back and we speak with fellow radio host colleague Steve Noble about some exciting information, some educational alternatives to consider, and then get some more clips to play for you later in the show. Hey friends, this is Dr. Michael Brown. I want to invite you to join our support team. Make an investment of $1 a day that will absolutely last forever. You know, the Lord has given us a holy mandate to blanket America with the Line of Fire broadcast. And on a regular basis, we hear from folks writing in, Dr. Brown, I used to be a practicing homosexual. I listened to you. I heard Grace and Truth together. I was changed. We hear from pastors who say, thank you for speaking with compassion, but giving us backbone and courage. And we know across America, so many believers are getting healthy and strong through listening to the broadcast, through listening to these messages as we tackle the controversies, the most difficult issues of the day. We even hear from former Muslims who've come to faith, from Jewish people who now believe in Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, through this broadcast and our resources. So join our support team. $1 or more per day makes you an official torchbearer. Immediately, you will get access to hundreds of hours of terrific online classes and exclusive video content. Every single month, we'll send you a brand new audio message, and along with it, an insider prayer newsletter where we'll talk about the things that are going to be coming in our ministry and share some of the amazing testimonies of the fruit that you are a part of. And when you do sign up, I want to give you two books as a special gift. First, Compassionate Father, A Consuming Fire. Who is the God of the Old Testament? I take the best of my Hebrew and Old Testament scholarship, wrap it together in this book that you'll find eye-opening, answering many of the questions you have. And then Revolution, my classic book that tells you how to wage war the Jesus way, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love. We are transformed. We can bring transformation to the nation. So call this number now, 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Say, I'd like to become a torchbearer, or go to askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate Monthly Support.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So we have been talking today about the war on our children, the ideological war on our children. It has been pitched for many, many years from many, many different angles. And in fact, while the birth rate among Christians is higher than the birth rate among those who do not identify as Bible believers or, say, those who are atheists and agnostics, the retention rate has not been that good. So in other words, many that were born into the faith, even raised in the faith, do not continue in the faith. And education is a massive issue. I want to take a few minutes with my colleague, fellow Truth Radio host, Steve Noble, to talk about an exciting educational initiative. He's been involved, taught over 800 high school homeschoolers since 2011, recently launched Noble U to offer his classes online. He teaches civics, U.S. history, Christian ethics, plans to add world history this fall. So without further ado, we go to Steve Noble. Hey, man, how's it going, buddy?
Good, brother. How are you?
Doing really well. Normally, I get to be on your show. Glad to have you on my show. All right, so you reached out to me recently about something you were doing. I said, got it. We got to get you on the air immediately to talk about it. So tell us more about this initiative.
Yeah, so, and I appreciate your focus today on talking about our youth, and obviously it's a huge issue. And going back to 2012, Michael, it was actually not even my idea, although I've been around youth for, well, since I was one. But my wife and another homeschool mom, like you, I was doing a lot of activism, a lot of interaction in the governmental realm, and they said, Steve, you should probably be teaching a government class. And like a smart Christian husband, I said, you're right, honey, I should. And so that's when it started. And then when I finished my master's degree in Christian ethics, theology, and culture, I added Christian ethics to my curriculum, and then I added U.S. history this fall. I'm adding world history. You know, you mentioned we were talking about the LGBTQIA movement. About 30% of Gen Z actually identifies that as that right now in America. 80%, Michael, of my students, when I ask them during the semester, will say they personally know somebody in that arena. So our kids are really struggling with how to engage with truth and grace. Plus, they have been having I call it an alternative operating system built into them by the digital world. Whenever they start accessing screens, it's getting younger and younger. So I have not been encouraged over the last 12 years by what I'm finding in the classroom. Their theology is weak, their biblical worldview is undeveloped, and they just kind of pull back from the world because it's gotten so aggressive. And that's why I just have poured myself into teaching 8th through 12th grade over these last 11 years. I've already got 200 students for this fall, and when I add more, I'll teach until the Lord takes me out.
Mm. Yeah, and Steve, I was talking to a leading national pastor, and he doesn't want to get involved with political division. I said, this is not political. This is pastoral. This is what the kids in your church are dealing with, living with, everywhere we turn. And it's not a matter of will they learn certain things, but who will they learn them from, and what will influence them the most persuasively? So, Steve, let our listeners know exactly what you're doing and exactly how they can participate in this, in particular those who are homeschoolers.
Yeah, homeschoolers, and eventually I'm asking the Lord to allow me to teach an increasing number of kids that are stuck in the public school system, almost, Michael, as a corrective, kind of a blue pill, red pill.
Yep.
My U.S. history, my world history, my civics class are both two semesters. My Christian ethics class is one semester. Like you, I'm on the radio 5 days a week. I teach in real time, which allows me to take all of this material, bring it into a current context. So these students are like, hey, wow, this stuff actually does matter. I can see it all around me. And then to teach them to what our kids don't understand, they're getting 32 gigabytes of information a day. They don't have much discernment. They don't have much wisdom to basically take them into these subjects, develop and apply a biblical worldview with a gospel heart, to teach them that their allegiance is to the truth. It's not to the right. It's not to the left. It's not even to America. It's to the truth and the truth of God's word. And it becomes just an incredible environment. I've been shocked in the last 2 years, Michael, as to how much discipleship and gospel conversation comes out of teaching U.S. history, for example. I'm like, listen, you guys should be broken in a lot of ways when we study our own history. But on the other hand, you should praise God for the amazing things that have happened as well. It's been amazing to watch what God has done in these classes. And again, for the website, if they just go to Noble U, like university, NobleUSchool.com, they can check out all this information.
All right, Noble spelled N-O-B-L-E, as in Noble, correct?
Correct.
All right, so Steve, what are you seeing in terms of the social, the cultural issues, not so much the historical issues, although that ties in, but in terms of the current cultural issues and issues of sexuality, morality, where are you seeing the kids most confused? What kind of ideas are they struggling with or dealing with that perhaps we didn't have to deal with? I'm 68, you're younger than me, but we certainly weren't dealing with as we were growing up.
No, a lot of it has to do with the issue of sexuality, now gender. They really struggle, Michael, with this, the intersection of grace and truth, because the culture tells you when you speak a biblical truth, you're hateful, you're homophobic, you're judgmental, you're definitely not somebody that represents grace. And so that's the challenge here, is they are backing away. And so they don't know how to engage those subjects. Plus, they're not even aware, Michael, of all the counter-biblical worldview that's being baked into them as they spend time on TikTok and YouTube and whatever else, which is why, like with Noble U, I've always taught these classes here locally, but we launched Noble U so that I could teach them online. And my online students get the class I teach each week because I'm teaching into the current context. But they are really struggling with just to understand these issues. Listen, Michael, most of these students, these Christian kids, as you know, can give you the answer that they know you want to hear. But can they develop it themselves? Can they actually explain it biblically? Can they make a rational argument? A lot of them can't. So we're actually sending them out like sheep to the slaughter. And it reminds me of the public school system passing kids through and giving them a passing grade, graduating them when they didn't actually learn anything.
Yeah, yeah, that's very true. Steve, what do you think are areas where parents may not really know what kids are being exposed to? You know, you have parents, they're involved, right? They're busy, they have busy lives, full lives, and maybe working a couple of jobs, juggling things on top of it, raising kids together. And you try to be involved with your school, but you're not there all the time. Many parents really had their eyes open during COVID because they found out what was being taught. And the thing was, these things have been taught for years and years, in some cases for decades. But it's first they found out about it because either they didn't know what questions to ask their kids, you know, about what they learned, or didn't dawn on the kids to share it, or there were just other issues that came up. Where do you think that parents have blind spots? We're all doing our best in all wherever we are, trying our hardest, but we all have blind spots. We're just unaware of some things. What have you discovered that maybe a lot of parents are not aware of?
Yeah, I'll push back a little bit on the, you know, we all work hard, we're trying our hardest. That may be okay when you're in boot camp, but when you're in the middle of a war like we are now, that's where parents really have to kind of double down on this. Two things. Number one, you got to understand what's actually being taught to your students. You mentioned COVID. That's one of the few blessings that came out of that, as right. A lot of parents realize what's going on in the school system with indoctrination. So you got to get to know the students. Parent, the teachers, you got to know the school system. You have to get involved and pay attention. You're probably not going to be able to change it in a lot of cases, but at least you know what's coming at them so you can act as a corrective agent at home. So the school, getting involved, knowing what's going on there. And don't be fooled. If your student has a great teacher, there's a lot of good teachers out there. There's Christian teachers out there, but they don't control curriculum. And so you have to understand the curriculum, number one. Number two, what's going on with that phone? There's a lot of things. We have four kids that are 18 and up, Michael. We would have done some things differently if I went back in time, which I try to impart to my students now. But that phone and the digital world is so dangerous. You have to build a relationship with your children so that they're comfortable and they will trust you when you start to talk to them about what they're watching and what they're consuming and coming alongside of them. I spent way too much time pontificating and not enough time listening to my own kids. That's a huge mistake I made. But you got to build that relationship with your son and your daughter, or both of them, so that they will trust you so that you can have these conversations to find out what is being built into them, because they're not going to be comfortable bringing it out at home, and they're probably not going to be comfortable bringing it out in their youth group. You have to develop that relationship as a parent.
Yeah, Steve, we have a friend. We've known her pretty much all her life. She's same age as our older daughter. And she and her husband raised their kids carefully and made sure, you know, they looked at, you know, who their friends were and what they were watching on TV or movies they could go to, whatever, but just didn't realize how much was coming through the cell phone by way of social media, in particular TikTok videos. And here the mother frantically writing, her daughter, 15, 16 years old, suddenly coming up with the most bizarre ideas. And where did she get them from? And was able to track them directly. This. She said, I had no idea. I was the best mother I knew how to be. So you got to remove any sense of condemnation. Of course, can't shield our kids perfectly, but there's a lot more that they're getting, a lot more inundation they're getting, and no other generation in history has ever had to deal with this level of inundation before. So, Steve, I appreciate what you're doing, and there's only so much we can specialize in. You know U.S. history massively better than I do. So if I was raising kids, if I was a homeschooling parent, it's like I need some resources to help here. So, Steve, where again can folks go to get involved with this?
Yeah, and I appreciate your encouragement and your support there, Michael. God bless you and thank you. Yeah, 8th through 12th grade, you can go online to nobleuschool.com, N-O-B-L-E, the letter U, nobleuschool.com, and check out all the courses, syllabus, all that information is there. Again, online is also an option. You don't have to live in the North Carolina area. Or you can just simply text the word truth to 66866, and I'll get you some recent classes you can watch and some information. But text truth to 66866 or go to my website at nobleuschool.com.
Yeah, friends, we wanted to be as practical as we could. When I knew I was bringing Steve on, I said, I'm going to structure the whole show around the war on children and give you some background the first half hour of the broadcast to set the stage for this. Hey, Steve, it's a critically important age group you're pouring into, and it's an investment that's going to make a generational impact. So thanks for what you're doing, brother. Keep up the good work, and may we see the tide turn in America.
Amen. Thank you, my friend. God bless you.
God bless. All right, that was Steve Noble, and I hope you appreciate what he is doing and that you take advantage of it. Okay, we come back. Going to play a new music video that you're going to find fascinating. I'd love for you to help get it out widely. And then a clip from the president of Uganda that you may find surprising. Oh, don't go anywhere, friends. We'll be right back.
I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health, and I want to take this opportunity to talk to you about the importance of healthy blood flow and how it's enhanced by a miracle molecule known as nitric oxide. You see, blood vessels release nitric oxide, which increases blood flow known as something called vasodilation. At Trivita, we take blood flow seriously for our members, and we've developed a nitric oxide plus supplement that has been formulated with natural ingredients designed to maximize nitric oxide production in our blood vessels, which increases blood flow. You may be wondering why you don't have as much energy as you used to. One study that I came across revealed that by the age of 40, we only produce about 50% of the nitric oxide production as compared to our 20s, and by the age of 70, the study showed that we're only producing about 15 to 25%. I have good news. As we age, there's another way for our body to increase nitric oxide production, and that's by converting nitrates in vegetables like beetroot into nitric oxide. Bottom line, with more nitric oxide, we stimulate more blood flow to our vital organs and we experience more energy while supporting healthy blood pressure. Trivita's Nitric Oxide Plus has been formulated to increase nitric oxide production and blood flow at every age.
To place your order for products to support your wellness goals, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at Trivita.com. As a Trivita introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 and receive a 25% discount on the products of your choice. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584. May you live with greater wellness.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
my friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. So we're coming to the end of the bombardment through Pride Month, where everywhere you turn, gay pride, trans pride, etc. It's not a matter of loving your neighbor. It's not a matter of being kind and respectful to other people. It's not a matter of saying, I don't really care how you identify. If you're working your job, doing what you're supposed to do, live your life. That's not the issue. The issue is pushing something everywhere you turn, pushing an agenda. Even people like Piers Morgan, who, you know, Piers went after me when I was on a show years ago talking about, you know, he said Jesus didn't say anything about this, and how can you have your views, etc. So he's quite liberal in these regards, but he's like, enough. Everywhere I turn, it's in my face, etc. Many others saying the same thing. But a fundamental idea that's been argued for years is if you can make, say, gay rights like civil rights, gay is the new black, trans is the new black, I was born this way, and this is just who I am, therefore you should have the same rights as anyone. You can't discriminate based on skin color, based on ethnicity. Well, then you can't discriminate based on sexual identity or orientation, etc. So if someone comes out of this, I used to be I'm ex-gay, I'm ex-trans, I used to be that, I'm not anymore, it undermines the whole born that way, can't change, innate and immutable argument. It undermines that. So there's a group in UK, X Out Loud. So the website is xoutloud.com. And they've recently put out a music video. We want to get out as widely as possible, so we're going to play the entire video. It's just a couple minutes. And then, Kai and Chris, I need you to put the link for the video on YouTube in our description on YouTube, and also link it on Facebook so folks can easily share this. Let's get this out. All right. Be edified, be encouraged. Here we go.
Yo, X Out Loud. The atmosphere is shifting. Can you feel it? Put your hands up. This is a new day. And you better believe it. Come on. Ruby just assumed she was supposed to be male. She discovered transgender on the internet. It was bittersweet, she knew she could never be a man. But nobody told her God had a master plan. She sought therapy, they told her wait and see. She thought injecting chemicals was the remedy. There came testosterone, rushing euphoria. Until one day it stopped working, back to dysphoria. In and out of hospital, she screamed the best way she could. If you've got a plan for me, God, it better be good. Beautiful daughter of mine, that's who I made you to be. If you trust me, you will see my word set you free.
Ruby was trans, she's not anymore. Tony was gay, he's not anymore. Serena was lesbian, she's not anymore. We are changed by the power of Christ. Oh, we come alive. Exhale love. We are changed by the power of Christ.
Tony was closer to his mom than to other guys. He wasn't sporty at all, but sensitive and despised. He couldn't really connect, was mocked and beaten by men. Was called this, called that, got up and smiled again. Come secondary school, porn wasn't enough. He was the stripper in the nightclub, stoned every night. Ever so hungry for love, he put himself up for sale. Sex, drugs, booze, it looked like he was going to jail. A gentle voice spoke right out of the blue. If you trust me with your life, I will rescue you. He surrendered to Christ, cried and fell to the ground. Amazing grace, I'm coming home to a sweet, sweet sound.
Ruby was trans, she's not anymore. Tony was gay, he's not anymore. Serena was lesbian, she's not anymore.
It's all by your power. It's all by your power.
friends, there is a massive effort to suppress these voices, to deny their existence, to say there's no such thing as ex-gay, there's no such thing as ex-trans. Why? Because it destroys the whole narrative that it's innate and immutable, that you're born that way, you can't change. Even if someone was born that way, and there's no scientific reputable evidence that proves that, but even if someone was, we can be born again, we can be born anew. Things that are the most innate things in our sinful nature can be transformed by the power of the gospel. So let's get that out. Spread that, share that word of encouragement. I love the sound, I love the feel for it. And here's fun graphics for those that watched it as well. Okay. In Uganda, there has been tremendous criticism of a new law that actually has a death penalty for certain sexual crimes, including homosexual acts. Now, the president of Uganda said it's mainly designed, is focused on those who are heterosexuals who engage in homosexual prostitutes simply to make money, etc. But obviously, massive controversy over the law and condemnation over the law. I am not here to defend the law. I simply want to point out the massive American hypocrisy in our attacking that law as if we were the icon for morality in America. We who export more porn around the world than any other nation. We who have more single-parent homes around the world than any other nation. We who have aborted more than 60 million babies. There is a lot of moral hypocrisy in us attacking that law. So I am not here to defend the law. But I think you'll find this clip tremendously enlightening. It is a CNN journalist speaking to the president of Uganda.
President Zane Virgie, CNN, the West. They do make it an issue. They have been making it an issue for many months now. Many in the international community are saying that by your signing of this bill, you're taking Uganda a step backwards, that you are not protecting the freedoms and the rights and the choices of the Ugandan people. So how do you respond to that? And specifically, President Obama has said he was deeply disappointed by Uganda's move and says that it would complicate U.S.-Uganda relations. I've listened to everything that you've said in the statement. So how would you respond to that? And does it worry you? And have you spoken directly to President Obama about this?
Well, we have been disappointed for a long time by the conduct of the West, the way you conduct yourselves there. But we just keep quiet. We just see how you do things, how the families, how they are organized, all these things. We see them, we keep quiet. We never comment because it's not our country. Maybe you like it. So, since there is now an attempt at social imperialism to impose social values of one group on our society, then our disappointment is now exacerbated because we are sorry to see that you live the way you live, but we keep quiet about it. Now you say you must also live like us. That's why we say no. We say no. And am I worried? Not at all. Be worried about what? Because the tango needs two people to dance. If the West doesn't want to work with us because of homosexuals, then we have enough space here to live by ourselves and do business with other people.
Thank you. What a term, social imperialism. Again, I'm not defending the law. I'm simply pointing out our American hypocrisy in condemning the law and not doing what Jesus says in Matthew 7, take the beam out of your own eye, the log out of your own eye, before you try to take the speck out of someone else's eye. Maybe a little more introspection is important. It's interesting, someone else asked the question, well, about science And the president said, it's nature and nurture from what people say. He said he doesn't know of any scientist who would say that nature only, in other words, genetics only determine whether someone is gay. He said, we're trying to take the nurture away. And then he mentioned the bishops. You know, is this something that the religious people are fighting for? And he said, I don't listen to the bishops. This is what he says. He said, they're the ones that killed Christ. He said, look at, in other words, the religious people. He said, they're the ones that killed Christ. He said, if I agree with them, fine. He said, but I don't listen to the bishops. He said, I'm just using my own logic. He said, you have two identical twins, and one of them is gay, the other's not. He said, a lot of it is nurture, the environment they're raised in, and we're trying to take the nurture part away. And certainly, when it comes to pushing back against indoctrinating children, I'm absolutely with Uganda in doing that, in terms of pushing back against the indoctrination of children with an activist LGBTQ agenda, or with businesses putting them under pressure. Yeah, I'm against that. All right, make that clear as well. In any case, I thought it was just worth getting that perspective, because you just look at, well, it's just bigoted, hateful, mean-spirited people, and they're just savages doing what they're doing. Well, here the president's saying, you know, there are two sides to these stories here. Okay, once more, for the critics, I'm not defending the Uganda law. I'm simply commenting on our own moral hypocrisy.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.